Good morning, God's beloved. It is a joy and an honor to be with you here this morning for worship as Reverend Nancy is away this week. My name is Reverend Melanie Harold Delaney. I have been a pastor here in Ohio for about 10 years. Now I serve a nonprofit that serves young pastors. The nonprofit is Bethany Fellows, and it is a joy to be able to be with you in worship. As I listened to the beautiful prelude this morning, I prayed for all of you who are home, wherever that is, prayed for you as you join us in worship, that you might breathe into this day and feel God's presence and feel the Holy Spirit connecting us, that even when we're not all here in these chairs in this beautiful sanctuary, we are connected by God and the Holy Spirit. So let's join together in prayer. Holy One, meet us where we are this morning. Fill us with your Spirit of grace. With each breath that we take in, move us deeper into your Spirit. And with each breath out, help us release the fear and anxieties that have taken root in our hearts and our minds this week. Help us create space for whatever message of hope or challenge, comfort or compassion you might bring to us in this time of worship. Thank you, O God, for your faithfulness and love. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Listen for a word from God. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As a child, I always wondered why my dad let our grass grow dry in the dog days of summer. While my friends' yards remained lush and thick, a cushiony carpet under my tender bare feet with dark green blades that glistened with droplets of water, sparkly water from ever-rotating sprinklers. My own yard grew rough around the edges, dry as the blades turned a little brown as my dad held out on the extra watering from the sprinkler, forcing each blade of grass to work harder to find water to nurture it. Dad, I begged as a teenager, ever more aware of aesthetic differences and comparisons. Can you please water the yard like the tailors do? Their yard is so soft and pretty. Ours gets so dry and it looks like the grass is dying. You're a biologist, aren't you? You see, I was questioning his whole identity here with this question. If you love plants so much, why do you let the grass die every year? Well, sweetheart, my dad said, the grass isn't dying. It's actually growing stronger. You see, if I water the grass too often, the roots won't grow very deep. They'll stay shallow because they think that there will always be enough water on the surface. So I like to let the grass be a little dry and go with the natural rhythm of the rain so that the roots will grow deeper and be more prepared for the dry seasons. The yard will be healthier and I will use less water, saving money and the planet all at the same time. But I scoffed at the time, a young teenager, unsure that the deeper roots were quite worth the poor aesthetic and tactile inferiority of dry, scratchy grass on my bare feet. But now that I am grown, with a yard and a family of my own to care for, I understand. My dad was thinking about more than short-term beauty and desire. He was seeing into the future, preparing and protecting even the tiny blades of grass from potential drought. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, Jeremiah says, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It will not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Jeremiah, the prophetic voice behind our scripture passage this morning, hoped to prepare and protect his own community from potential drought as well. From where he stood, he could look back on years of abundance and health. He had grown up in the shadow of the beautiful, prosperous Jerusalem temple. But by the time Jeremiah's story in scripture ends, he will have lived through the fall of that temple as the Babylonian armies invaded his home, his town, and spread his family and friends, the life that he had known, out into exile. Jeremiah was in Egypt. So Jeremiah the prophet, he had seen all of this coming, and in scripture he counsels his people to surrender or face devastation. But they don't surrender. So now in chapter 17, Jeremiah is preaching a different but equally troubling message. Exile is the new normal, he says. How will we respond? As if we live in a desert? Or will we be planted in this strange new world like trees rooted next to a flowing river? We too are living in a new normal. A global exile in the midst of this global pandemic. Most of us are not being exiled from our homes per se, though many of us who have lost our jobs and our income are facing moves and finding new homes. However, all of us are being exiled from our sense of normalcy, our safety, our well-being. We are being forced to reckon with an invisible enemy that attacks our lungs and immune systems, one that has claimed and stolen our ability to gather for family reunions or sporting events. We are literally exiled from our church buildings as we worship together while scattered apart this morning. And this is our new normal, at least for the foreseeable future. In times of great struggle and change, when we have lost so much and cannot see the end of the pain yet, we look for hope wherever it can be found. I remember back in March, way back years ago in March, when it was the last day my kids were in school for a normal day of school. And we could see writing on the wall. We knew something was going to change. Something about school was going to change, but I didn't know how or when or what. And I remember that day saying to my friend, I just need to know. I just need to know what the plan will be, and then everything's going to be fine. We'll adapt. Well, that wasn't all I needed. School changed, the kids were at home, everything. We adapted, it was okay, but it wasn't as easy to live life as I thought. Then I said, well, it'll just be the next 6 weeks, right? We can do anything for 6 weeks, just 6 weeks. 6 weeks passed. So I started looking elsewhere for my hope. Okay, it's not in schools coming back. It's not in life getting easier. So we found hope in our daily walks. We looked for the spring flowers popping up in April and May. We looked for hope in sunnier days on the horizon, less snow. Now, as we face a new school year that still looks different, I find myself saying, please just let there be a vaccine. Please let there be a vaccine that works. Which is why I was a little jarred by our scripture this morning, the first part of the scripture, where Jeremiah says, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals. It made me look at myself and ask, who am I trusting in? Am I trusting in myself to try to do all the things of normal life when there is really nothing normal about life in these days? Am I expecting school administrators and governors and government leaders to make the decisions that I think are the right ones because I think they will protect me and my family from pain in one form or another? And I'm the daughter of scientists, so you know I believe in science and I trust in that. And I am putting my hope in a last-ditch effort for a human-made vaccine, and I absolutely support it for the record. But I want to tell you that I am putting my faith in God as much as I possibly can. And I want to tell you that every day is like this, but the truth is, it's in my best days. It's when I am at my best that I wake up in the morning and I look to my prayer practices because I know those are what center me. On my worst days, I wake up in the morning and I read the news, and that just sends me off a cliff for the whole day. But on my best days, I wake up and I sit on my porch and I take even five minutes, and I just breathe in God's grace and love. And in that breathing and in those 5 minutes, I trust that I am held and cared for. And I reorient my self-expectations from what the world expects of me in my days to what God expects of me in my days. And those are different things. Because God loves us just as we are, doing our best in the days that we have, with the information that we have, with the tools that we have, with who we are in that moment. It is the world who tells us that life needs to continue on as normal, whatever normal was. It is the world that tells us we still need to be efficient and productive and useful. That isn't what God asks of us. God just wants us to be who we are. And we know that, right? At a surface level, at least. But do we know this in a deeper way? Do we have access to the depths of our soul, the well of truth within each of us, where God offers the waters of life that refresh and sustain even in seasons of drought and exile and pandemic? I serve as the co-director for Bethany Fellows, a community of love and support for young disciples clergy in the first 5 years of ordained ministry and the congregations they serve. And I will tell you, if you are entering ministry in a pandemic, you are a brave soul. And so we are doing all that we can to support them as they navigate this season, being new in what they do and in a new world. And it is through ongoing support and mentors and colleagues, engagement with creative ministries and impactful ministries, we do 24 hours of silence at a time, helping our young pastors ground themselves in prayer and in contemplation. In normal times, we do this through retreats twice a year. And one of my favorite places that we go is in the midst of the Arizona desert in Phoenix, Arizona. My Nebraska prairie-grown heart loves Arizona for the wide open skies, the endless sunshine. But I am often startled by the sharpness of the plants there. They are even sharper than the blades of grass I critiqued my dad for cultivating. And because they have shallow roots in the desert, they are more easily uprooted and they tumble around just waiting to attack and attach themselves to an ankle or a sock. Desert plants have shallow roots. Because the air is so dry and hot, rare summer rain falls and it easily evaporates just as soon as it touches the ground. So in the desert, plants with shallower roots can more quickly absorb even the smallest amount of water. But shallow roots can't attach to the ground as easily, right? And the plants risk being uprooted by wind or animals. It's a trade-off. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see relief when the rain comes. If our trust is rooted in the shallow places of human ability, human productivity, we will be like a shrub in the desert. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. For they shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. our ability to weather this drought, this exile of pandemic, lies not within our own skills and our own power, our own ability to keep our days as normal as possible, but rather in the depth of our roots. Where do we turn when our hearts are aching and we are afraid? Are we turning to our usual numbing agents? Sports, alcohol, shopping, scrolling mindlessly through our phones? Or are we deepening the practices that connect us to the life source of our God, centering prayer and meditation on Scripture? Deeper and more intentional relationships. I don't know about you, but I'm finding that when I have to be really intentional about who I'm with and how, and making sure I'm connecting still with people, I'm more intentional about that, and it's been life-giving in a way. Quality time in awe-inspiring creation, admiring God's work, or deep breathing through yoga or physical exercise. Spiritual practices help us grow deeper roots, as do connecting with other people in meaningful, intentional ways. Prayer and scripture, vulnerability and community with others, mindfulness and gratitude, these are disciplines that strengthen us from the inside out, preparing us to face the most difficult of circumstances and experiences. And the truth is, spiritual practices do not prevent the pain and struggle. They don't remove the danger of just living life in this world. But they do equip us with what we need to survive and thrive in the midst of it. And the best news is that we don't have to perfect the disciplines, we just practice them. So thinking back to my childhood summers, I know my dad wasn't trying to torture the grass or my bare feet. He wasn't intentionally withholding life-giving water from the plants in his care. In fact, his whole calling and career was built on his love for trees and all of nature. But he knew that deeper roots lead to deeper ability, strengthened ability to weather the storms of our world. He knew, and God knows, that deeper roots have access to deeper sources of life and deeper love. And in the end, my friends, it is the depth of our life and our love that will make all the difference. Amen.